And we're live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 123 of Fans of Power. I'm Joe Amato. I'm here with my partner in crime, Tyler T-Rex Baker. How you doing, T-Rex?
Doing all right, man. Doing all right. You're getting through this snowstorm we had in our area. All that crap, power outages and stuff. So I'm ready to sit down and have some fun.
Well, at least it didn't knock out your power, because I know Nathan, our buddy in Beyond Retro, he had problems with his power, correct?
Still does. He had a tree knock out the power line of his house, so he's like the only one on his block that doesn't have power now. But the roads are cleared and everything's looking a lot better in this area too. So I'm ready to sit down and have some good, powerful fun on the podcast. Honestly, it feels like it's been so long, I guess, since last week for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's just been a long week with snow and everything. It just feels like it's been so long since you and I have sat down and talked.
It is. It's weird. Like you said, we just did it last week, but it does seem like it's been a while. But, well, I guess, hey, when you're always ready to do another podcast, sometimes you get antsy for it. But, well, let me say hello to JSP in the chat room, Zentron in the chat room, and Zen Brown. So thank you all for joining us. And let me see. What was that? Finally dragged myself away from my work reproducing the episode Friendship. Really a lot of work. That's something Zentron said. Not quite sure what he meant, but I figured I'd read what he said right there. But no, we have a couple different topics today. I mean, there's a couple episodes we're going to discuss that there's an episode of Princess of Power that Tyler likes that I'm not too fond of, an episode that I like that Tyler's not too fond of. So we're going to try something different to where we're going to give each other a little spin on, not a spin, but basically our impressions of our episodes to see if we can maybe sway the other into maybe liking it. So we'll see if that works. We'll do a character discussion and another little thing towards the end, maybe even towards the middle. But first, before that, Tyler, was there anything currently happening? Anything in Masters news? Anything new from comics to cartoons? Anything you think of, or has it been pretty quiet?
Well, just as a reminder for those people who like to buy such nonsense, the He-Man new movie is supposed to start filming next month.
Yeah, we're gonna be right all over that, huh?
Coming here in about a week or so, people. No one's been cast, no director, no finalized script, or people still holding on, but it's going to happen. I just want to make fun of those over-the-top optimists, you know.
I think half the time with that, it seems like it's the ones that, I mean, as you see a lot of times in the groups and other places, that there's fans that are just now, like, coming back to He-Man one way or another, however, you know, they got back into He-Man. So to them, it's like when they hear this movie news, it's new to them. But to you and I, and probably most people listening to the episode right now live or even later on, they've heard this before at least, you know, 15 times for X amount of years, 12, 13, 14, 15 years. So we're kind of like immune to it. So we don't, but, you know, like
in this day and age of social media, it's hard to not know, you know, when a new movie's coming out or something has been announced regarding a TV series. Toys, I can almost understand, because even though people who are into movies and popular culture and video games may not know, obviously, that there are toys like He-Man that are available in, like, you know, the classics line or Pops or whatever the case may be. But with movie news, I kind of almost felt like that seems a little bit more easily accessible on social media. Like, you would see stuff being posted through, not just on movie websites, but various people sharing it. If you have common interests, it just kind of feels like it's kind of hard to avoid. I mean, you of all people, for people who don't know, Joe doesn't watch trailers and look at spoilers or anything that showcases what a movie is going to, you know, entail, other than maybe the plot of it. So if Joe is constantly ducking, it almost feels like, how is it that people are still just dumbfoundedly coming across this news as if, like, it's breaking news? I'm the first one to post this. No one else knows this except me. I'm going to share it. You know, and I will have let everyone know that this movie is happening. And you just like, guy, where have you been? You know, I see it pop up every so often. I just kind of shake my head and just, you know, I just kind of feel like, you know, not everyone's a hardcore fan, but I feel like there's some things like, how can you not know that?
Yeah, and because, I mean, it's going to come and go again. I mean, there is absolutely no doubt that April's going to come, nothing is going to begin shooting. And this deadline of December of 2019, it's never going to happen. So it's not going to, again, it's like we always said, Tyler and I, just along with all of you, we'd love a new movie. Of course we'd love a new movie, but just it's not going to happen. I mean, the only thing that will happen, which I bet you, you know, I got one of them feelings that maybe they'll say something about that upcoming She-Ra cartoon, maybe in April, because it's been very quiet on that front.
It's not for guys our age or women our age. It's meant for a generation where they're going to, you know, change it up, change the look, make the women look unattractive and unappealing and just very, you know, it's just, it's going to be sloppy, silly, overly kiddie. It's like, but that's fine. You know, they're doing that, another god-awful,
Turtles, the Ninja Turtles, is that what you're...
Just looks like an abomination.
Wow, I went to those turtle pages and those turtle groups, and you talk about, wow, you talk about mayhem. You think Masters of the Universe fans can go nuts on some things. Those turtle groups are just...
Because I see people, your cliche social media apologists coming on there telling everybody, you shouldn't think that way. It's like, you know, I'm sorry. You know what? You're right. I'm not allowed to have an opinion based on what they're showing me. The first impression... You know what? You are right. The simple fact they've got John Cena playing a leading voice in a Turtles animation. They've got Raph, the big hulking leader of the group with no size.
Hold on. Because again, since I haven't really watched any of the previews to know what's going on, did you say John Cena is voicing one of the Turtles?
No, one of the bad guys on the show.
Oh, one of the bad guys. Okay, because the only thing I seen somebody show a screenshot or a still shot was, I think it was Raphael, and he has like a sharp tooth or something. A lot of people are like, even going bananas about this tooth, I think.
Yeah, and he's got sticks instead of size, I guess, because they felt like it's non-threatening and non-violent, and essentially making him the leader of the group, too. So somebody in charge decided to come along and decide, I'm going to change it. I'm going to make things different. And I don't care about all the fans that have kept this properly. It's all about making the 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds happy. You know, so I hope that dies a quick, agonizing death. So they'll know not to mess with what has always worked. And, you know, see, stuff like that needs to fail. So that way when someone comes along and wants to do a new He-Man series, okay, let's not make what they did. Let's not make that mistake. Let's stick to, you know, the roots of why fans in 30s and their 40s are keeping this property alive. You know, let's not go through and mix it all up just for the sake of changing it up. You know, just to say you did put a different spin on it.
So
much about, you know, and this is not intended to get into another ridiculous movie discussion, but you know, it ain't so much about changing up, like refusing change. I don't mind tweaks in here, and I know Joe doesn't either. But you can't change, you know, the core of the character. I swear, damn it, man. It seems to happen so much when they want to adapt properties, you know, that we love or comic book characters or whatever. People do not hesitate to change a character's profile or why they do what they do or alter things. It's like they just do it and they just don't give a damn, you know?
Yeah, I guess, again, it'll be a wait and see how that goes with the cartoon. But it, like I said, it's been such a quiet front on that side that I'm assuming something's going to be popping up soon. But I guess we'll wait and see. But let me also say hello to Adam Gabbert and Ruth Gilbert in the chat room. Thank you both for joining us as well. But, well, Tyler, I didn't know what you wanted to start off with first. I didn't know if you wanted to start off doing a discussion on Negator, somebody that maybe a lot of people don't know about, which we can, I guess, let people know about him. Or do our back and forth with the episodes that we want to talk about and try to see if we can maybe have the others see why we like it so much and see if where we're, you know, we know where each of us are coming from. But what do you think you want to start with?
You know what? Well, we'll do the debate first.
Okay. All right. Well, you go ahead. You start off with your episode and let everybody know the name of the episode and you just go with it.
Okay. Me and Joe have had a private conversation like multiple times about what we're getting ready to talk about. And then we had no intention of making this something on the podcast. But we did a couple of weeks ago and we kind of got each other riled up about it. So, you know, let's save this for the podcast. But Joe and I, you know, and not there's several episodes I kind of felt this way about, but for She-Ra in particular, I've always had a soft spot for The Laughing Dragon from season one. I rented that one on VHS. I got it right over here, the exact tape I rented as a child. And I loved that episode as a kid. I really liked the sorrowful character. I liked his voice. I think Lou Scheimer did the voice, I think. Could be wrong. But I liked his character arc throughout the story. I just felt so sorry for him as a kid, not to, you know, no pun intended. But I just found him to be such a likable character. When I got older and would continue to revisit that episode, I was like, I still like this episode. It's an episode that could have easily been like, I liked it as a kid. It's a little too silly and cotton candy for me as an adult. But damn it, man, I like the character. I like him a lot. I still feel sorry for the dragon. It's the kind of character that me and a big softie that I can be. I just want to go over and give this big dragon a big hug because I feel bad for him. But he has a character arc in this where I feel like, you know, he does show you find out why that he's scared of damn near everything. Takes nothing to frighten him, and then by the end of it, he's challenging the Horde face to face and doesn't back down and just blows a fireball right up Mantana's ass, and that does happen if you haven't seen that episode. So I and Joe has said that he just felt that is an obnoxious character. It's silly. It's just goofy. I guess more childish than anything else. And I don't see it. I don't see it at all. Because I there are some really goofy ass voices that have been used in the original He-Man and She-Ra cartoon, but I do not feel like Sorrowful's voice constitutes as like, oh man, this was like a lazy, they were just kind of phoning in on this one. I genuinely love the character of Sorrowful. It's kind of the same thing in Prisoners of Beast Island, kind of the same thing, not as good as the Laughing Dragon, but overall I love this character, and I think you'd be hard pressed, Jared, to find others who don't like it.
No, there's probably plenty of people that do like it. I just, for whatever reason, even as a kid, I didn't like just the way he talked. It reminded me of some of these other cartoons where they had simpleton characters. And so, not saying he's really a simpleton, but his voice, it just wasn't flattering to me. But then the character, what annoyed me is, it's like, okay, I've seen this before. Meaning, you have this dragon, which is, dragons are known as being the most, you know, imposing characters probably in fantasy history. And of course, he's a cowardly dragon, as Imp likes to say, a cowardly dragon. But I felt like it was, even for me, beyond the part of him just being just so frightening, which annoyed me, was I felt it was like a nod to the Wizard of Oz. I was like, okay, I've seen this story where you have the cowardly lion, which is supposed to be, you know, the king of the jungle, is scared at everything in the world. And then Sorrowful felt like that. And then as the cowardly lion needs his courage and has to make it to the Wizard of Oz to get something that obviously is just an object to represent courage in him, you even have Sorrowful going to cast a spell, who's like a sorceress who maybe can help give him courage. And when he enters the doors of cast a spell, and she says something like, you know, silence or speak, whatever she said, she like said something to him that, when she spoke with her voice loud, he got scared and fainted, just like the cowardly lion, when the wizard spoke to him, fainted from him. I just felt like I was watching, in a way, Wizard of Oz on Princess of Power. And even, I don't know, it's just those elements that felt just so silly to me. Even the part where, when Sorrowful first appears, and, you know, of course, bows to rescue She-Ra, which is very great. Adora, like, here, let's go into this, like, little hut or something to hide from the dragon. And then Cal comes out, I think, and then sees Sorrowful, and Cal gets scared, but so does Sorrowful. When Sorrowful turns, his tail hits that little hut, flies way up in the air, you see the whole hut, and they look out the door, and then, boom, it lands, and suddenly Bo has, like, a dress on. And when Bo comes out of the hut and comes up to confront Sorrowful, you know, he's shocked, like, oh, a dragon can talk, you know, you can talk. And he's like, oh, you can too. He's like, and Bo says, well, I'm a man, of course I can. And then Sorrowful does this like sissy hand at him because he sees him wearing a dress. And I just felt like there was so many silly elements. I don't know, for whatever reason, I could not connect with this episode. It felt kind of really silly to me. And even as an adult, I was like, I can't help it. I can't like the character. And, you know, of course, then he gets his courage, which is Shira gives him like a, it's like a lei. I forgot what she called it, a flower of power or something that puts around his,
yeah,
and says, this will give you your strength. So now he does believe that he does have some courage from this. And that's, you're right. He stands up to Leech Mantenna, which was the good part of the episode. He blows out fire. And then when he finds out at the end that this wasn't really powered, it was just within him, like, here's the moral about courage lies inside you. You know, he passes out and faints. And the only redeeming part I liked about the whole episode is when She-Ra acknowledges, Bo, you helped too. And Bo does get a nice, good kiss on the lips from She-Ra. And then he passes out and he's like, it was worth it. I like that part. But as for the whole episode itself in Sorrowful, God, I don't know why. I never felt him. I just was not into Sorrowful. I, not saying it's, you know, a bad episode, but for me, I could not get into that episode. I still can't. It's a shame. I can't.
But I get your Wizard of Oz connections, but however, what we get to see Sorrowful do, we don't get to see the Cowardly Lion do, like where he would directly stand up defiantly to the Wicked Witch and her army, whereas Sorrowful gets up and goes and confronts the Horde by himself. You know, and they backtalk him, and he kind of keeps with it, and then they piss him off. You know, which we'll make you clean up the dungeon, and we'll keep you around, and you know, your friends will be there to keep you company, and just constantly antagonizing, like, go away, clown. That's one of my favorite lines that Leech says to him, and they just start laughing at him in typical bully fashion, like they don't take this dragon seriously.
And that's because of Imp. You're right. Imp went and he spied and he found out that Sorrowful is a cowardly dragon. So he takes the info back to Leech and Mantenna, which now think, this dragon's not going to do anything. So you're right. They go to him with the intentions, you're not going to do anything. But Sorrowful kind of flips the tables, shows courage, and then they're yelling at Imp, like, what did you do? I thought you said he was a coward. So, oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, and I just felt like we're given a little bit more, but I never looked at it that way. There are some Wizard of Oz connections, which I love Wizard of Oz, all the more reason which it makes this such a wonderful episode. I just don't see it. I mean, because it's you, I can almost see why you might think Sorrowful is an obnoxious character, but God, I like, it takes nothing to irritate me with certain characters in cartoons, and that is one character I would stand defiantly in front of it and defend in front of anybody. I love the character. It's a character that could have so easily been portrayed as obnoxious as hell, you know, because, you know, God knows we've seen our fair share of those in the He-Man She-Ra cartoons, but I just can't say that Sorrowful is such a lovable coward in it that, and I just felt like his story arc was done correctly and that it could have easily been screwed up. It really could have, to where I would probably could have shared Joe's sentiments about it. But God, I think it's such a great episode. It's an episode too that, like so many, goes, you know, unnoticed. Everything is like just Secret of the Sword and Shadows and Skulls and back to Shadows and Skulls and Secret of the Sword and Horde Prime Takes a Holiday maybe. And I named a couple of others that I feel like are constantly get mentioned. And we could do another whole episode about what doesn't get mentioned most, but all right. Well, now Joe has given his, all right, I think you need to explain your case here. Cause I brought the Laughing Dragon, as the prosecutor, or no, I'm the defense attorney. You're the prosecutor against Laughing Dragon. All right. Now I'm going to be the prosecutor against your episode, but all right. I guess I'll the public here too.
All right, well, here's mine. This is, again, now, like you said, you're a big softie, you said, for, like, you know, kind of lovable characters or ones like that.
Not all, but
you know, but I know what you mean. You said some, but as for me, there's certain kind of characters that I've always kind of pitied or certain things. But, okay, here's an episode I like that Tyler just does not like, and you guys might not like either, but it's Enemy with My Face, and this one features Maylock. Now, this one, I mean, how it starts off, it's like Scorpia is in, you know, they're having a bunch of vehicles that are going down one of the roads, as the Horde always likes to do when they're going to a city to try to take over the town or get taxes or whatever. But she's bragging about some kind of weapon that it took her a year to make. And of course, it is basically taken care of like that, because what happens, this weapon and everything, they fall into like a hole that Shira made in the ground, and basically, boom, gotta go, guys. So she already screwed Scorpius 1 year of what making a weapon into nothing. So this, of course, takes it back to the Fright Zone, where Horak and the rest of them are going nuts trying to figure a way. How can they stop She-Ra? How can they finally stop her? And one of the characters that makes it, which I love, of course, because I'm a sucker for him, is Modulok. You don't see Modulok in many episodes, so it's cool to see Modulok in there. And he's basically going to try to help figure it out with this computer, which, you know, Horak threatens, saying, okay, you know, if you could do this, I'll give you back your title of being a Horde scientist. If not, you're going to be known still as the Horde cook. But so he has this computer, which Horak, he asks the computer, what can stop She-Ra? And the computer says, find someone as strong as She-Ra. And of course, Horak says, but that's the problem. There is no one as strong as She-Ra. And boom, Horak destroys this computer. As the computer starts to fade away with its voice, it says, Maylock, Maylock, Maylock. And then bam, Shadow Weaver instantly says, now I know what to do. So Shadow Weaver goes to a swamp. And in the swamp, that's where she uses a spell. She does one of her chants to create a Maylock out of the swamp and from the bog. Because what a Maylock is, it's a creature that when it touches, you know, its victim or whoever it's after, it'll gain all its powers and abilities. So now it's Shadow Weaver is finally going to set a trap for She-Ra now. To where when the Maylock and her are encountered with one another, the Maylock, when it touches She-Ra, see, first, the Maylock is a big, like, swampy, just nasty-looking big thing. It's big and bulky because Maylock backwards is golem. So it's like a golem, but it calls it, you know, Maylock. But when it touches She-Ra, you start seeing the energy transfer, and boom, Maylock turns into, like, a womanly mud monster. So it's like, okay, now what's going on here? So She-Ra's basically, like, sword to rope and throws the rope at Maylock, like, you know, she's going to pull her in, but Maylock's pulling with her. They're going back and forth in this tug of war where it doesn't even seem like there's going to be a winner. And since it seems like it's taken a while, Shadow Weaver decides, okay, time to leave. And boom, takes Maylock with her. But what I like to see in something, anytime you can see your main hero in trouble, it's memorable for, especially when I'm a kid, it's memorable. Like anytime I'd see He-Man face to face with somebody just as strong, you're like, how the hell is He-Man going to stop this person? And this was freaky because She-Ra even makes a statement. She says, I've lost. For the first time I've lost. To hear her say that and doubt herself was actually, for me, scary as a kid. Because she's doubting. Cal was like, well, how do you know that? You know, you could have beat her. But she was like, could I? Like, she was actually doubting. Like, I don't know if I can. So She-Ra has to go somewhere else to where somebody you don't see too often, Light Hope. She goes to Light Hope and asks, you know, like, how can I stop this Maylock? And Light Hope says, the true power of She-Ra doesn't come from the sword, but from your heart. And he says, now that Maylock has your powers, ask yourself, what else does it have? When you find that out, you'll be able to know how to defeat the Maylock. So the next scene, it's back into the Fright Zone. And this is when you start knowing something's going on. Of course, after what Light Hope just says, it kind of leads to, you know, what's kind of being led to here. You see, as Shadow Weaver and Horak are talking, Maylock's looking out a window. And then suddenly, like, this little bird lands on her finger, and she looks at the bird, and she kind of, like, has this little smile of, like, warmth. And you're like, okay, maybe she's not bad. You're kind of understand what's happening. But then Shadow Weaver's like, Maylock, let's go, you know, because it's time for this next trap to set against She-Ra. And so they set another trap. And when she casts a spell, they go to another place. They go to another village. And when they go to this next village, Maylock is like dressed up as a Horde trooper. And basically, Bo wants to help, but she was like, Bo, you get the villagers and everybody, get out of here. I have to take care of her. But there's like this one little girl that's like hiding in this like big jar or something that wants to see the. There's
no sense in the episode. It's that little
girl. Well, I know, but, well, like I said, so this girl, she basically wants to see, she probably sees She-Ra as a hero. She wants to see this fight, which obviously leads to something that happens later. But so She-Ra and Maylock engage in a battle that is going back and forth, so much that, Jesus, they destroyed the board down. I was like, wow, you guys worried about the Horde? She-Ra and Maylock destroyed it. But it's basically, there's no way there's going to be a winner. They could see that, you know, Shadow even realizes, God, these guys could fight forever. And there's not going to be a winner, which makes it seem, look it, She-Ra has met her match. So she, Shadow Weaver says, okay, basically now it's time to turn the tide. She does the spell. She has this machine that if she could get She-Ra into this machine, She-Ra will be stuck and she won't be able to get out of it. So Shadow Weaver uses this magic spell to create a crazy windstorm that starts having everybody starts flying. And sure enough, She-Ra flies. She gets trapped in that. But then this girl that was defenseless is in this goofy big old vase, and She-Ra takes the only thing that could have saved her from getting out of this trap and throws it to save the girl. And of course, the girl stopped, but now She-Ra is stuck in this machine. But then Shadow Weaver commands the Maelog, go get that girl. As she goes to get that girl, that's when She-Ra's going to say, like, you know, wait, don't do it. But Maelog looks at the girl and caresses, like, her face and her hair. And then that girl says, she likes me. I think she likes me. And then She-Ra just finally caught on. She's like, I just realized not only does this thing have all of my powers, it also has my heart and my feelings. And she starts talking to Maelog to reach in herself and feel, you know, like how She-Ra feels, to have compassion for this girl. She wasn't going to hurt her anyways. But what she does is Maelog grabs that sword, throws it to She-Ra. And then She-Ra's able to free herself. Shadow Weaver leaves. And then the next scene at the end, She-Ra's like, how can I repay this thing that's in front of me? How can I repay Maelog? And she's like, I want to try something. And then she says, for the honor of Grayskull, and shoots power at Maelog and turns this mud woman into a human. And now, you know, she has, you know, she's a real person, but she says, like, you know, maybe you could stay now and help the rebellion. She's like, well, before I do that, I have to go out and live life to understand what it is to be alive and understand this before I can help. And then she, you know, goes on her way, and they have their little message about, you know, trying not to judge people by what they look like. If she looks frightening, they might not be frightening, whatever's within you. But I pitied that thing. I pitied the Maelog, but then realizing it then had She-Ra's feelings, then it had a redeeming factor. But through the episode at first, when you're seeing She-Ra face to face with somebody as powerful, I was like, you didn't see that too often. And it was memorable for me as a kid. And like, so like I said, I seen somebody as powerful as She-Ra, but then at one time pitied this person. But then, of course, there was something redeeming good at the end. So it just stuck with me. It's just one of those episodes where sometimes there's something that really is memorable. And the Maelog in that episode, it just always stuck with me.
Do you have any idea that if this was a real court case, your entire opening statement was just gas bagging? You did nothing to tell our listeners why this is such a sympathetic character. You know, all you did was just explain the plot of the episode, and not once did you give an example of why this Maelog character, which is why we're here, people, is a sad...
Actually, it's the episode. It's episode and Maelog. It was all together.
No. That was not the point of this discussion here.
Maelog in the episode. Exactly.
Was debating over who was the more sad and sympathetic character. And instead, Joe's like, let me just project my thoughts here. And just
hold that. No, now let me go back. No, it's actually the Laughing Dragon episode against Enemy with My Face. That's what it was. It wasn't the character versus character. It's all of it together.
It was too. That's the whole...
Look at the... What does that say? What's the description episode? Laughing Dragon versus Enemy with My Face. It's characters and episodes to each other.
In our descriptions to tell everyone exactly what we're arguing about here, but you know and I know that they don't and we know. You know, little burbs there for you. You know, the whole point of this discussion was to show, was to tell you that you're wrong and that Sorrowful is the more sad and more sympathetic and feel sorry character than the Maelog.
To feel sorry for a simple-minded big dragon? That's all it is? It's just like stuff we've seen before. It's like, oh, I'm going to feel sorry for the big Ophi dragon, which I don't know why I'm supposed to feel sorry for him. But just because he's scared, let me feel sorry for him. No, that's not the point. The Maelog is something that was created that didn't even expect life.
It got
life and didn't even know it was going to have life. So that's a sympathetic thing to then come out of this and show the good within.
Or she becomes a beautiful woman. There's nothing to feel sorry about.
No, but you see that there's good within her, that looking at something so evil, thinking it's evil, and it's not. There is good within her no matter what. So that's something. But the whole thing with Sorrowful is like,
this is what I'm going to do what Joe does to me here, all right? Where Joe likes to sit there and just say, well, the logic of this episode doesn't work for me here with his monocle and his pipe and his smoking jacket. All right?
What? Is that how I talk? I didn't know I talked like that. Like, oh my goodness, I did not know.
From Toledo, you know. So anyway, you know, Joe likes to tear apart logic. Okay, well, this whole idea that if the Maelog, whatever it grabs a hold of, immediately, you know, gets a transfusion of how its victim thinks, and as well as their strength, well then, why the hell isn't the Maelog immediately acting like She-Ra in general? Why is she acting like an aggressor?
Still under the power of Shadow Weaver, just like when Adora was at some time. So she still is under somewhat of a power of Shadow Weaver.
You can't do that, though. You can't.
But she did do that. She did do it.
All she's doing is commanding. She's not putting it in a spell. The spells brought it to life. And that's what they said. The minute it grabs a hold of She-Ra, it will absorb everything that She-Ra, even Lighthope says, you know, if this creature has taken what makes you who you are, it should also have your mind as well. All right. Well, that clearly says the minute this creature touches you, it should be instantly good. And it's just I can't feel sorry for that. There's nothing sad or sympathetic about a character that's if they had shown Shadow Weaver, you know, smacking this creature around or being very ugly or calling her, you know, you're nothing but an ugly, you know.
Well, they don't have an hour, Tyler, to give the whole backstory. But she did use powers. She was commanding her. She did command her at times to do stuff.
About this,
she would. She'd tell her. She's like,
there's no evidence of this.
But no, she did. No, she did. She would command her at times, do this, do that. So she is still learning. It's like she's still, you know, learning what, like when she becomes human, she even says she has to go out and to learn what it's like to be human and have feelings and do it. She doesn't still understand all of that. She has some of the feelings, but she has to learn about being human. She still has to know. So immediately when she's born, I'm sure she doesn't instantly have all the knowledge of being human and feelings going out of her. She has inner stuff of She-Ra.
You just got done telling us all here
She has She-Ra's knowing of feelings, but she's like a kid. You can say she's a kid. She's still being taught what to do by Shadow Weaver. Shadow Weaver's still commander, so I sympathize with her. But like I said, you're doing to me what I sometimes try to do to you and vice versa. But
only because the point of this argument that you and I agreed to was which one was the sadder character.
That was not it. It was not who the sadder character was. It was going to be the whole episode, the character, and why I like it. Because I remember when I said you were like, why do you like this episode so much, Joe? I don't see why you like it.
I watched the episode, okay?
That's what you said to me. You said, I don't know why you like this episode, Joe. It just does no good.
But you know why we're arguing about this, because you like the episode. I like Sorrowful.
And the whole, I mean, but that's what I mean. It's the episode from them.
King Groff and all this has nothing.
It's both. It's them with the episode. So it's Maelog with the episode and Sorrowful with his episode. That's what I mean. You were discussing things in the episode. I was too. That's what I mean. It's things from it. What makes the whole thing.
Discussing, you know, the attack of King Groff's kingdom and Mr. Kor being under attack. It was strictly why I think Sorrowful is a sad character that I feel sorry for this character. Whereas you told me you feel sorry for the Maelog, and yet you did nothing, not a single thing.
I did say that. How am I supposed to feel sorry for a dragon that I know nothing about? I know nothing about this Sorrowful character. Why am I going to feel sorry for this character that they didn't even say why he's frightened? Like, oh, why is Sorrowful so pitiful? They never even said why. It's like, so why do I have to feel sorry for something that is supposed to be this gigantic dragon that scares people that does nothing? He doesn't. It doesn't give a reason. It doesn't say why I'm supposed to pity this thing. I'm more annoyed. Like, that's the thing. You have to give me the case of why should I pity him, because I don't know why he is sorrowful. He's just right from the start, oh, I'm scared of everything. It's like, oh, I haven't seen this in 100 different cartoons. I haven't seen this in the stupid Wizard of Oz. It's just nonsense. Why am I supposed to pity Sorrowful the dragon? You know what? If you're too scared and you're a giant dragon, you deserve to be picked on, because you shouldn't be picked on. I shouldn't feel sorry for you because you're that big. You better breathe fire. You take care of what you have to. But if you don't, you deserve to get picked on because okay, you shouldn't be.
He's a dragon. He should be an asshole regardless. Is that what you're saying? Because all dragons are ferocious beasts. So therefore...
Not all of them. Think of Granimir. Granimir, he's wise. He's not an ass.
Sorry for a mud monster that's brought to life that hugs She-Ra.
Granimir's not a bad guy. That's what I mean. So he could be powerful, but he doesn't have to be, like you said, an ass. But be powerful and take care of yourself. Be strong. It's like, you're a dragon. That's what I mean. There is nothing. You gave me no case of why do I feel sorry for Sorrowful. I don't. I'm annoyed by Sorrowful. It's like, you better be strong. You're not strong, then just go somewhere else. It's terrible that dragon has.
Prime example, all right, since you've accused me of not giving an example. In fact, hell, you even did the work for me. In the sequence where Bo comes out and, you know, in a woman's dress and starts, berating Sorrowful, that scares him because he's like, but you are, and you're angry at me. That scares him. Aggression, you know, scares Sorrowful. I mean, or even Cal saying, boo. And he's scared of everything. There's nothing.
Why does that make me feel sorry for him? That's annoying. That's like, you're getting jumpy from words?
Because he's a giant teddy bear, so to speak.
You know? My God. Tyler, you're not helping yourself. You're making this worse. It's just, he's a...
The mask is cutting off the oxygen to your
brain. No, it's to yours. There's nothing that makes me feel sorry for him.
Ask anyone in that chat room if Joe came up with one sympathetic
remark. No, actually, did Tyler tell me, did Tyler tell you why Sorrowful should be so pitiful as a dragon, why we should pity a dragon? It's I don't get it. And it's, let's say, JSP said, you could feel sorry for Sorrowful because it's not in his nature to be aggressive. He means to harm. Did you mean he means no harm? I'm not sure what he meant there.
Yes, that's exactly. Yeah,
but Jesus, like I said, I can't pity him because he is a dragon, and this dragon should be never be afraid. He doesn't have to go bullying people and setting people on fire, but he shouldn't have no fear. And for him to have this, I'm like, oh my god,
that's the irony of this story. It's a dragon that no one takes seriously because he's scared to death of everything until they finally say, look, you know, we need your help. We can't do this without you. And just until he's irritated, that's all it takes. You know, it's just like with any typical bullying situation, a kid being picked on can only take so much before he decides that's it and snaps right back. And that's what happens with Sorrowful. We don't get this kind of arc with Maylock. We're just kind of being told, you know, this for convenience, she thinks the way I do. But if she did, she wouldn't be acting out against She-Ra to begin with.
She's still probably learning, as she said at the end. At the end, she even said it. I still have to learn. She says this at the end, so she says it. She still is learning. She does not have all the knowledge, but she did do the right thing at the end. But it's a poor thing that was created from nothing just to be bad, but didn't want to do this. This poor thing was created from nothing to be this evil warrior and eventually redeems herself, which hearing She-Ra and also seeing the girl. It's the poor thing is being looked at as this crazy, ugly monster when, like I said, she didn't deserve this. She didn't ask to be, you know, brought into this world as this. But now she sees the beauty. You know, she did get turned into a woman, obviously, at the end. But, well, like I said, she had her redeeming thing at the end. But I still, like I said, and fans, don't let Tyler try to sway you where he says this was just about them. This was specifically them and their episode. And no, like I said, I did not like the Laughing Dragon or Sorrowful. Now, Sorrowful, remember, he was in a couple other episodes. We didn't bring up the other episodes. We just brought up this episode. So Sorrowful was in other episodes, but we specifically brought up just him for the Laughing Dragon.
Are you done?
So, no, there you go. So that's it. Now I'm done. There you go. Yeah.
Well, I just for the record, I want everyone to know that before I started this podcast with Joe tonight, my intention was to discuss the character Sorrowful from The Laughing Dragon and how he is portrayed in that episode. I'm not going to discuss all the other minor things other than what Sorrowful is in that episode, and that's what the episode is about. If I wanted to go the gas bag route, I would have said, well, the episode starts with The town of Elrond decides to join in their independence about being freed from the Horde by from She-Ra. And then I'll talk about how Bo throws a rock down a well, which used to be a fuel tank, and then that blows up. And blow the sink down on fire. And like, no, I'm not going to go down the gas bag route that Joe does. I'm here to get to the facts. I'm not here to, you know, just blow hot air.
Hey, everybody in the chat room, look at what the description of episode 123 is. The Laughing Dragon versus Enemy with My Face. It does not say Maylock versus Sorrowful, because we wanted to say why not only the character, but why we like that episode. We've said it many times, like, Tyler, why do you like this episode so much? And he would say it to me. He'd say, Joe, why do you like that episode so much? And I'd tell him why. And then I'd ask him, why do you like your episode so much? So that was the reason. It was the character and the episode. It was all of it wrapped into one, a big package. Don't let Tyler, in his slick salesman way of talking, try to switch you over to thinking it was just the characters. It was the character and the episode all together. So that's why I do like Enemy with My Face more. I like the whole story, along with I do love Maylock's character, but Sorrowful and his story, I just didn't like the episode. I just don't like Sorrowful.
You believe in Easter Bunny too, don't you, kid?
I do. There you go. So thank you, Zentron. Zentron says, personally, I didn't pity either. He says, but I like the Maylock character the best. All right. Well, hey, one for you, one for me. There you go. We're 50-50. Me and you are 50-50. The chat room's 50-50. So thank you for that. This is always a good, healthy thing me and Tyler do. And before you guys think of it, no, me and Tyler are not angry with each other. We don't dislike each other. This is a thing we do.
Kayfabe here. You're letting people think that we're...
I know. I just want to make sure, because I've had that. I've had people message that think... Well, I don't want people thinking that we really are angry and hating each other. Some people thought that. I just want to let you guys know. I mean, sure, yes, we're going to give each other stuff back and forth, but no, it's not like that. And that's why, in fact, I even started this episode calmly, because I had a couple people tell me, they said, Joe, you get a little too passionate. You get a little too, you know, like, intense when you're talking. Why don't you try to calm down? So that's why when I started this episode, you notice I said, hello, on episode, welcome to episode 123. I was like, you guys can tell.
That noticeable. I know what you were trying to do, because you told me in advance that you were going to act.
Yeah, like, I was going to try it, because usually it's always
a very good job of being very overly top monotone.
Well, that's the thing, because usually it's this. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 123 of Fans of Power. I'm the man behind the mask, Joe Amato, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Tyler T-Rex Baker. I always do that, but this time I tried to be calm, because people said, Joe, try to be calm. So you can always let me know if you want me
to say that. So let it be known that Joe answers to any squeaky week. Whether it's one people or no people.
Two, but I wanted to try it. I just wanted to see. So I was even going to ask you guys what you thought. Like, do you want me to try to be calmer? Or would you like me to try to just stick to what I always do? Because I can't do the calm thing. It's not in my nature to when I talk.
This podcast to come in and just be monotone He-Man fans. Like, you know, a lot of podcasts are where everyone's just kind of speaking. There's a lot of dead air. And you have to wait for the next person at the round table to talk or something like that. God, no.
I've seen that in a horror podcast. There's a horror podcast.
So for anybody to sit there and tell Joe, or if they just ever decide to tell me, that we're too passionate, then we don't need to be doing this podcast. We're not here to, you know, read from cue cards and prep and read, you know, and just kind of prepare in advance everything we're going to say to each other as if, like, we're robots, you know?
It's a horror, not only horror, but a wrestling podcast do that sometimes that I've listened to, and I'm sure Tyler has as well, that sometimes there is kind of a way that it just might be relaxed, and they're like, okay, this week in wrestling, and they'll mention some of the matches or something, or talk about some of the old matches.
That's not interesting, though.
How can't you get intense? I was like, I gotta lose it, you know?
Yeah, but even then, like, even if they're not talking about something I'm particularly interested in on a podcast, I like to listen to Tell 'Em Steve Dave. I listen to Bruce Pritchard's podcast, to name a couple. You know, they have it's even if they're talking about something, I'm like, I don't know what that subject is about, but it can be entertaining because they're having a good time. They're not being flatlined with with no emotion, as if, you know, they're reading, you know, from the teleprompter in front of them, like Naked Gun. Turn it over to Raquel, you know, back to Phil, you know, and just...
You know. Oh, I remember that part when they were reading
What the hell are you doing?
I do remember that in The Naked Gun. That killed me, that part, when they're reading their cards. Raquel, turn it back to... And then, was that when he was Phil Donahue, too, or something? Or...
Oh, God, look at Donahue! I was Phil Donahue.
Oh, God, that... That was great. That'll have to be something we talk about on Beyond Retro sometime. But.
Man, I hope people do not, I would think that anybody that listens to this podcast from the past, present, future, would not want anything less than, 9 o'clock our time when we're done. I am tired. I'm assuming Joe is. He probably wants spaghetti and meatball or something like that. I don't know what he wants after the
What's that?
podcast.
Comes, is that a racist Italian joke or something? Wait, here we go. Now I'm Italian. Got to hit spaghetti and meatballs. What, am I making a pizza next? Oh, here we go. This is
Quite
getting
possible.
worse.
Where everything in Joe's house has got like that generic like pizza chef on a pizza box who's doing like the that.
Okay, you know what? I'll give it to you. You win there because if you do go in my kitchen, there's some Italian guys holding some of the wooden spoons that I have around the spice rack. So, hey, I guess you win with that fact because there is an Italian guy, fat guy with the big old hat holding the wooden spoon. So, you win.
If it's true, and Mike, I swear to God, that is one word in the English language I just wish we stomped and buried. So, but anyway, but no, we take pride in being banterish and busting each other's balls on this podcast. It adds a little extra flavor to something other than just talking about mini comics and cartoons and characters and stuff. It's fun for us to, pick on each other, make fun of the other,
Yeah.
and
All right.
Joe
Just.
make it. Like Joe's trying to, he can top me and he can't. And
Ah,
he
there you
just.
go. See? And I'll just say, sure, Tal. If it makes.